Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Gwen Sheltimer, my co-host Felicity Signal-Reed, and our guest this week, Grace Barker. Each week at this time, we visit with an author, an editor, or publisher from our region. We hope to find out a little about his or her life and ask them what prompts her to write, and given an opportunity to read some work for us. This week, we're very pleased to have Grace Barker join us. Welcome, Grace. Grace Barker won an Ontario Heritage Foundation Award in 1999 for her work preserving, protecting, and promoting the rich heritage of our province. Her book, Timber Empire, The Exploits of the Entrepreneurial Boyds, now in its second edition, traces the adventures of 19th century lumber baron Mossum Boyd and his sons in the Trent Valley. Her more recent work, The Bad Luck Bank Robbers, chronicles an intriguing drama that had not been previously told. The book was adapted for the stage and produced by Fourth Line Theatre last year, to such acclaim that the theatre will repeat the play this coming August. Grace now lives in Campbellford, where she takes a great interest in the community and enjoys walking her dog in Ferris Provincial Park. Grace, Bad Luck Bank Robbers is actually based on a true story that took place in Havelock. Now, I live in Havelock, and it always seems such a sleepy little town. It's hard to imagine a wild incident like a bank robbery taking place there. So how did you discover the story, and what prompted you to write about it?
Well, I was prompted to go back, and there had been an article in the Saturday Star about the gut, and I was very curious about that. And an old friend of mine decided that he was going back that way, and he would take me. I was afraid I might get lost back in those ways. So he took me back, and he started telling me about this story. And then after that, it didn't all fill in that day. And so I interviewed several people, and they all seemed to have different stories. So I decided that I would just go with what the cops said. And I read the articles in the newspapers, in the Peterborough Examiner, who'd recorded it every day. So I decided that that was a good base of information, and I would go with that.
So tell us a little bit about what happened with this bank robbery and why it's such a gripping story.
$230,000 is still hidden in the Ontario bush. In a bold daylight heist on August the 31st, 1961, armed robbers made off with over $230,000 from the Toronto Dominion Bank in the eastern Ontario village of Havelock. If not for a bit of bad luck, it would have been the perfect crime. But things started to go wrong. A wild car chase along back roads in the rugged Canadian Shield bush country north of Havelock ended with the bandits fleeing into the woods on foot. After an intensive 96-hour manhunt, the Ontario Provincial Police, aided by local residents, rounded up the five suspects. But where was the money? It had vanished. Not only that, the clever bandits had worn masks and gloves at the bank. Nobody could identify them, and there were no fingerprints. The chances of putting them behind bars seemed slim.
Yeah, so that's the intriguing backstory that's on the back of your book, and that tells it all, doesn't it? And not only is this a book now, but it's been made into a play.
Yes.
In fact, an outdoor play at the Fourth Line Theatre in Millbrook.
Yes.
Now, the first time the play ran, I believe, was last year.
Yes.
And it was so successful, they're going to do it again this year.
It ran for 5 weeks last year. And it was sold out practically every night, and so they decided to run it again this year.
Well, that's fabulous. Now, who adapted the story into a screenplay? Were you involved in it?
No, I wasn't involved. Alec Posch-Golden, who is a screenwriter from Toronto, and from Montreal, really, and it intrigued him, and he wrote the story, and I didn't have any part in the writing of the story. And it pretty well followed the book. He made it into a comedy, and it was very funny, and so my book is not so funny as that.
So who do you think has the truer story, you or the play?
I'm going to say that I think that my story is truer.
Can you tell us a little more about when you were writing it, like how long it took perhaps and what was involved?
Yes, I wanted to make it a true story, so I had to check my facts all the time. And I was about a year researching it and interviewing people, all the old cops who had worked on the case. And they each had a different story because they'd done different things in the chase for them. So all kinds of stories turned up, and it was very fun to do.
And I've heard that people, even these days, take your book and retrace the route that the robbers took in the hopes that somebody will find the $230,000+ because it's never been found. Is that correct?
That's true. And the laneway where they wrecked one of their cars, the township put up a sign, and everybody started stealing the sign. And so they greased the pool, and there's a big sign up there saying that anybody who steals it is going to be prosecuted. Makes for an interesting drive.
Well, I think it's time for our listeners to hear a little piece from your book. Which little piece would you like me to read for you?
In the conclusion, it talks about all the things. Maybe we better do that one. It tells what happened to the robbers and gives you some indication of what went on.
Success is simply a matter of luck. Ask any failure. This is a quote by Earl Wilson. The failure of this bold robbery can be attributed to some small unexpected delays, or just to bad luck. The group of professional thieves who carried out the caper could not have factored in all the variables that might possibly affect their split-second timing, and that prevented their meticulous plans from working out. It ended up like the report of the surgical procedure where the operation was a success, but the patient died. Although the robbers were apprehended and incarcerated, the canvas sack of money was never located. Some people have stated, "Oh, don't look for the money, it's been spent long ago." Could this be true? Did the robbers dig a hole ahead of time and just drop it in the hole as they fled? Is it in the bottom of Round Lake, as I have been told? Or in one of the other lakes in the area? Is it buried deep in the earth where a metal detector cannot pick it up because the magnetic field is diverted by rocks? Or how about in a swamp? 2 milk cans were reported to have been stolen the night before the robbery. Do they contain the loot? Did the robbers pass the money on to the attractive sweater-clad girls who attended the trial and who were on hand to console them when they were sentenced? Was it taken out of the country? One rumor was that some of the bonds had been cashed in Switzerland. Could this be true? Was the loot just dropped right in Havelock for an accomplice to retrieve? A couple were stopped by police as they were travelling east on Highway 7 that morning. The car they were driving had a Quebec license plate. When questioned, they produced a checkout voucher, proving that they had stayed at the Royal York Hotel in Toronto the night before. Considering their checkout time in Toronto, it was possible they passed through Havelock at the very time of the robbery. Did they do a small detour off the main highway and pick up the loot on the way through to Montreal? Were they part of the plan? Jean-Claude Lalande was the first of the four robbers out of prison, released on parole in April 1966. After serving 4 years of his six-year sentence, he was sent back to his native Montreal. It was reported in the Peterborough Examiner on August 31, 1966, the fifth anniversary of the robbery, that while in prison, authorities had talked with Lalande about a parole deal in exchange for telling where they'd hidden the loot. Police couldn't confirm this. In any event, the whereabouts of the money remained a mystery. Jean-Claude was kept under close surveillance for more than a month after his release, and a helicopter monitored the getaway route and search area. But he did not lead authorities to the missing loot. The four prisoners had originally been put in the Kingston Penitentiary. However, as a result of disturbances early in their sentences, three of them were moved to other institutions. By 1966, Roger Poirier was on death row at the Dorchester Penitentiary in New Brunswick, having stabbed another inmate to death. 5 years after the robbery, the U.S. Fidelity and Guarantee Company of Toronto, the Toronto Dominion Bank's insurance company, was still offering a 10% reward for the safe return of all negotiable stocks, bonds, and cash. A Fidelity investigator said the company was still working on the case very strongly, and that all new leads were being checked out. The haul from Havelock Bank was believed to have been the largest in the recorded history of Ontario crime to that point. Well, thank you for speaking to us, Grace. That was lots of fun to find out. I might even trace that route myself and see where they went. So thank you for talking to us, and we'll be back right after this break.